You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up today, President Obama gave his final address to the United Nations General Assembly. We'll talk to a political scientist about how the speech went and how historians might remember President Obama's foreign policy initiatives. First, there are more than 3.5 million truckers on America's roads, which makes them a great resource for groups working to fight human trafficking. Here are truck drivers sharing candidly their disturbing encounters with underage children who were being trafficked.
My son and I were driving through Oklahoma City, had the radio on, and the guy comes on the radio, "Hey, anybody want any underage girls?"
One of the things that we saw that disturbed us quite a bit was seeing a van pull up with a woman driving, five or six girls that got out. It looked like they ranged anywhere from 15, 16, maybe 18 years old, but all of them very, very young.
This one, she didn't even look 13, 14 years old. She had no shoes on. She had a little mini skirt on.
She couldn't have been more than 14, 15 years old.
She probably looked in her 14, 15 years old. I really couldn't tell her age, but she was very young.
And I know good and well a 14-year-old, 15-year-old is not doing this on her own accord.
Truckers Against Trafficking is opening up a new line of defense against human traffickers by mobilizing truckers, truck stop employees, and the general public to help root out the growing problem. Lynn Thompson is with us now. She's the co-founder and communications specialist for Truckers Against Trafficking. Lynn, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Veronica. It's very good to be with you.
Well, where did the initial idea for Truckers Against Trafficking come from?
Well, I had grown up in El Paso, Texas, where my parents owned a small motel, and truckers were one of our main customer bases. And my daughters and I have four daughters, and the five of us, along with a friend, had started an organization to fight issues of injustice and specializing in human trafficking. And pictures from my childhood came into my mind, and I thought, you know what? There are over 7 million people total in the trucking industry across the United States. They travel. We're all localized. If we could train them to understand what human trafficking is and what to do when they see it, they could play a critical role in the fight against human trafficking across this country. So I started TAT initially as an initiative of the organization that we already had. In 2 years, it had grown so large that I was working full-time at the time, and it was too much for me to handle by myself with that job, so I turned it over to one of my daughters to run, and she took it through a 501c3 process, and it has continued to grow from there.
Was part of the problem knowing what to look for? As I understand it, trafficking looks different depending on where you find it. If you find it on the street, in a house, in a motel, the highways along rest stops, it's going to look different. So how did you figure out what to train people in?
Well, what we wanted them to do was first of all, to quit seeing young girls or young boys that were coming to their trucks or finding them at rest stops or finding them at motels or whatever, to quit seeing them as prostitutes and begin seeing them as potential victims, and then learn how to ask them questions. Do you know where you're at? When's the last time you saw your family? Do you have identification papers? Where do you go to school? And if they were foggy on those kinds of answers or were crying, if they looked scared, if they were dressed inappropriately, and if they suspected that these were victims, then they needed to make a call to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So first we trained them on what to look for so that they were able to recognize it. Did these people have tattoos that were indicated being property of someone? Did they have bruises? All of these different things so that they could recognize it and then make the call.
And was that a switch in perception that did need to happen initially, that these were not prostitutes but these were victims? Did that switch happen easily?
It's still in the process of happening. I think that oftentimes they had seen young people out there, and they were being bothered at night. Many of them had signs on their doors that they didn't want to be bothered, and we wanted them to begin to see these kids, as I say, as victims, so we wanted them to be willing to be bothered so that they could ascertain if they were victims and make the call so that they could get help. And they were more than willing to do that once they understood that these kids were being forced to do what they were doing.
I'm wondering about how this works. So if you're a trucker and you're pulled off overnight at a truck stop and you get one of these knocks on your cab door and you suspect trafficking, what do you do? Is there a tense situation where you have to try to sort of shield this child while you wait for help to come?
Well, sometimes, in the first place, we give them all a wallet card that they can carry that has critical information that they need to take down data when they go to report, but also questions to ask and things to look for. So sometimes they may get a knock on their door and they can actually ask the questions. Other times they may see something. For instance, a driver that we gave a huge award to last year, Kevin Kimmel, was resting at a rest stop or a truck stop after delivering his load. He saw a van with blacked out windows and an RV pull in the back by trucks, and he thought, gosh, that's a little weird. Then he saw men getting out of the back of that RV, going into the store, coming back out, knocking on the door of the RV, and then going in. He thought that was even weirder. Then he saw a young girl's face against one of those windows just for a second. It was pulled back, and the RV started rocking. He thought all of that was way too weird, so he made the call. Police were out there in about 5 minutes. This girl had been kidnapped 2 weeks earlier in Iowa. She was being sold on Backpage by the kidnappers all across the country as they were traveling. Kevin happened to be in Virginia at the time that he made the call and saw her. So it can look different ways, different times. They could be in a motel or a rest stop and see somebody pull up with three or four girls in a car and one guy. And before they even get out, they could just watch what's going on in that car. And then if the girls get out and start going to trucks, they can call right then before they've even made contact, recognizing that those girls are probably being trafficked. One trucker saw a guy taking a young girl into the shower area at a travel plaza, and he didn't think that looked right. He followed them in there and then made the call. So there are different ways that it looks, but we want them to be on the lookout for situations that don't look right. And then sometimes the trafficker will proposition the driver themselves. We had a driver who was propositioned at a traffic light, and he turned the guy down, but he followed the trafficker, and when he pulled into a place, then he took down his license plate number and all the information about the car and the people in it, and he made the call.
Lynn Thompson's with us right now, co-founder and communications specialist for Truckers Against Trafficking. And Lynn, listening to these stories, story after story, I mean, it strikes me these truckers are moving around, but a lot of us travel, a lot of us use the interstates and the rest stops. Is this something everybody should be on the lookout for?
Absolutely. I think the more people that are aware that this could be happening and they could be seeing it, the more opportunities there are for raising an alarm and helping someone escape or be recovered from a trafficker. Traffickers are moving their victims across the United States all the time. That's what made drivers especially so important to us, because they're traveling all over the United States and they're trained to be observant. So why not use that as part of their daily work to understand what they're seeing in these types of cases? But yes, everyone needs to be aware.
How big a problem is human trafficking in the grand scope of things in this country?
Yeah, it happens in all 50 states. The NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, says that one in six runaways in 2014 were likely trafficking victims. There are globally 21 million victims, and 26% of those are children. It's $150 billion profit industry. So it is huge.
So you started Truckers Against Trafficking. Are there other arenas similar to this that you might be looking at next? I remember hearing about how airlines could partner to stop trafficking during Super Bowl airline travel. Are there other areas like that that you're looking at next?
Yeah, the transportation industry overall is a major one for training. Airlines, in some cases, are already training their pilots and flight attendants to recognize traffickers and victims when they see them, and this has occurred on several occasions where victims have been recovered. Buses and taxis all need to be trained. One of the major recruiting places for traffickers is bus depots. So if bus drivers and personnel working in the bus depots are trained, they can be alert. If people who clean up in all areas, whether it's airports or bus terminals or taxi areas, if they can all be trained and vendors can all be trained, they can recognize traffickers and victims when they're walking past them. They kind of melt into the background. Nobody really sees them, but they can recognize and see what's happening from the people that are going past them.
And Lynn, just briefly, we've just got a little bit of time left, but for people who are listening and want to help, you can't train us completely, but what should we look for to help?
I think you want to see if there are kids who all of a sudden something's different, or they're not there, or they don't seem to be as available, if they're looking scared, if they're dressing more inappropriately than ever, if you're out someplace to a sporting event or a motel or a hotel for a convention, and you see a guy there with several girls, and maybe they call him daddy, but there's no way they look like they're related. Or you hear somebody talking about a quota, or he's there with them at a hotel and there's no luggage. Those are the kind of things that would make me very suspicious, and I'd make the call. If you have a chance to talk to someone you think is a victim, you want to ask them questions about do they have their any identification papers. When's the last time they saw their parents? Do they know where they are? Because a lot of times they don't.
Lynn, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
That was Lynn Thompson, co-founder and communications specialist for Truckers Against Trafficking. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.